I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go aboard. Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour flight deck Foxtrot. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Toronto to Tampa, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
But they listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How are we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you today. This morning, we'll actually have 5-time Olympic swimming gold medalist, Missy Franklin. She was a teen sensation splashing upon the international swimming scene as just a teenager. She collected 5 gold medals in the Olympics and then retired at the ripe old age of 24 in December. Missy will join us in studio, now embarking in her post-swimming professional career, coming up at hour number 3. Also, you may know we have an ongoing saga here on the DA show, which we will finally get some answers to coming up this morning in approximately an hour and 15 minutes from now. Last week, one of our listeners in Binghamton, New York, said that the show had been preempted abruptly at 11 a.m. Eastern time for Rumble Ponies Baseball. For those of you that know the show well, you know that our friend Jacob Wilkins, a longtime Cast of Thousands member here on the DA show, is the new Rumble Ponies play-by-play voice. We didn't understand how it was possible that there was an 11 a.m. start time for a Rumble Ponies AA baseball game. We then sifted through box scores, and there were no news or notes. There was no evidence that this was an 11 a.m. start time. However, yesterday on the show, or yesterday listening to the PGP, I suppose, one of our listeners, as we did dig deeper into this, went back through all of the old game notes and found that there was a start time for the Rumble Ponies in the 10 o'clock hour. None of this seems to make any sense. How could it be possible that there was a 10 a.m. start time for minor league baseball? So we will go straight to the Rumble Pony's mouth. We'll have Jacob Wilkins join us here on the show. His first appearance on the DA show since accepting the role of play-by-play voice and PR director of the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. So we'll talk to Jacob coming up here on the show in approximately an hour and 15 minutes from now. St. Louis seeking its ultimate redemption. Gloria, Gloria. Should Antonio Brown be attending Raiders workouts? Are the Clippers the new favorite to land Kevin Durant? And another wonderful moment in the summer for John and Susan on the Yankees broadcasts.
And you know, Susan, that's baseball for you.
All of that coming up this morning on the DA show. As always, you can hit me up on the Twitter machine, DA on CBS, when it comes to any thoughts about the show or topics that we're talking about. DA on CBS is an easy way to jump into the fray. But let's start with last night's Eastern Conference Finals game, game number four. The evolution of this series has been really interesting because game number one, neither team played all that well. Bucks get a win. Game number two, the Bucks just blow out the Raptors. And then going into Toronto, really, Milwaukee just had to get one of the next two to have a chance to come back and slam the door shut, up 3-1, coming back home. The Bucks would win in game five with a 4-1 series, as long as they could just take care of business and get one on the road in Toronto. And I think the Bucks had a ton of confidence that they could do that. I think the Bucks had a ton of belief that they were the better team. They were the one seed. Toronto was the two seed. They had flexed their muscles. They had shown their might in the first two games, but specifically the second one. And that the Bucks felt very comfortable that they were going to, after dispatching of the Pistons in a sweep and then dispatching of the Celtics in five, I think the Bucks felt all that much more confident that much of the same was going to happen in this series as well. And lo and behold, the Toronto Raptors got both. And last night, it was a butt kicking. Last night, the Raptors led start to finish. Last night, Toronto's bench was phenomenal. And last night, not only did we know, oh, okay, this is going to go minimum six, but I think we knew, oh, maybe Toronto's not much worse than Milwaukee. Maybe Toronto's not worse than Milwaukee at all. Maybe these two teams are neck and neck, equal footing, and maybe the Milwaukee Bucks need to reset their expectations of dominating this series. And I think after the game, the Bucks reports were that it was a really sullen, really quiet, really bummed out locker room. I think the Bucks got a comeuppance, and they haven't been here before, and maybe they needed that wake-up call. But when it comes to a long Eastern Conference Finals, we must ask this as well. The longer this series goes, now it's going to go minimum six. Did that just help the Warriors last night? It's where we begin. Your cold open.
Van Vliet in the lane to Siakam on the bounce. Now backs it out. 2:20 to go. Pascal drives to Ibaka, who jams it down. And down the stretch we come. Toronto pulling away, leading 120-95.
Each game's its own entity, and let's see if those guys and all of those guys, we can go do it in Milwaukee. You know, we need to take this challenge of playing in a hostile environment. Right, we're going into a tough, loud place to play, and let's see if those guys can bring that same pop and focus, determination on the road.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Raptors radio on the call. Nick Nurse after the game. Yeah, last night was a big win for the Warriors. Now, Golden State wrapped up its business early, so they were going to have a long break no matter what. They've got 9 days off before the NBA finals start. But the longer this series goes, the worse that it is for the Eastern Conference winner. Because having to gut your way through a 6 or 7 game series in the East and then taking on the modern day powerhouse and dynasty that is the Golden State Warriors is not good. It was not going to be easy for the Bucks or the Raptors, but for the Bucks specifically, who had a chance to make this a quick series, that was not a good outcome last night. I still believe Milwaukee wins this series. I still believe the Bucks will head to the NBA Finals. And I still believe the NBA Finals will be competitive between the Bucks and the Warriors. But letting this thing go this long, not getting one of the two in Toronto, not being able to close out in a game five on the road, and knowing that you're going to have to gut your way through a long series is good news for the Warriors, who are sitting back and going to allow and watch the Bucks and Raptors to beat each other up. One anecdote about that, though, or one qualifier. The Eastern Conference champ, either Milwaukee or Toronto, will have home court advantage in the NBA Finals. Both the Raptors and the Bucks had better regular season records than the Warriors. So, a big, big, big advantage, even if this thing goes seven, is that Bucks or Raptors, whoever survives, will have the first two games at home in the East in the NBA Finals, which is a lot different than, let's say, being in Milwaukee in a game number seven and then having to fly all the way across the country to Golden State for a game number one and try to play in front of that crowd against a refreshed and rested Warriors team. So that's a big deal, and that's one of the reasons that I believe that the Bucks can hang with the Warriors. They get the first two at home. They get home court advantage. They get four of the seven games in their home arena. Last night, it was a tremendous performance by the Raptors bench. And if the Raptors bench performs like that and Kyle Lowry performs like that, then suddenly the Raptors are really dangerous. I think the problem is that's few and far between. We just don't see that enough out of the Toronto Raptors. Too often it becomes it's Kawhi and then everybody else. But last night they did a great job of grabbing control of that game, getting contributions from the bench, and never letting their foot off of the gas. And for Toronto, I think they just sucked the life out of Milwaukee last night. I think the Bucks had every intention of going there and getting at least one of these two games. And then when it came after game three, they didn't win. Okay, double overtime, that's fine. We'll go into game number four. We'll get that one. And credit the Raptors for never allowing the door to be open. They never allowed the door open. And thus, the Bucks, I think, were beaten and defeated emotionally last night. And they're going to have to rebound quickly because the Bucks are coming back home for game number five. And you can't lose that one because then you're forced to go on the road to save your season game six and then win a game seven at home after that. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Brand new PGP is out. We'll discuss what's going to be coming up on that, the Permission Granted podcast, when we return. But also, Antonio Brown already making questionable decisions with his new team. You're kidding. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the show about the show. Here's the best of this week's Permission Granted podcast.
He gets there, let's say, at 9 a.m. for the 5:35 first pick.
That's right.
He is listening to the radio because we're on and goes, you know what? I'm in front of the board right now. I'm in the press box. I have the audience that knows me. I'm new to the job. Let me flip the switch and bring Rumble Ponies Weekly. That maybe this is like a Rumble Ponies roundup that he does.
Rumble Ponies Magazine.
Yeah, exactly, because I don't see any evidence that there was a game played at 11 a.m. last week.
Download the PGP today on iTunes and play.it, or listen at daoncbs.com and the show's Facebook page, Zaps.
So many questions about the Rumble Pony schedule. We had a listener last week say that we were preempted in Binghamton, New York for Rumble Ponies baseball, but we could find no evidence of an 11 a.m. start time last week. So, we hypothesized, or at least I did, on the PGP, perhaps dangerously and irresponsibly, that Jacob may have pirate radioed us. That perhaps he was in the press box, that the game wasn't for hours, he had the equipment in front of him, and just flipped the switch and went live radio on our Binghamton affiliate, knowing that there was tons of D'Aliens listening, who he could then have a rapt audience, would be familiar with him, and he used it, he exploited it, to do some type of Rumble Ponies baseball roundup.
He faked us all out!
I'm not putting it past that guy. We're going to have him on the show an hour from now to ask the tough questions.
Cha-ching!
Show me evidence, Jacob Wilkins, that there was an 11 a.m. start time of a Rumble Ponies game last week. Show me the evidence.
All right.
Also, you can listen to the PGP or download it anywhere podcasts are available. Just search permission granted, or it's on the normal DA show podcast feed as well. It's an Ask the Pros day where you get to pick a question, any question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just simply tweet at me, DA on CBS, and be listening later on in the show, and we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Were you expecting Antonio Brown to show up to Oakland Raiders OTAs? Well, I hope you weren't, because he's not there. Antonio Brown, absent from day one of organized team activities. That's the day where they make macaroni necklaces. John Gruden saying, quote, "I wouldn't reach much into this, although I'm sure people will." AB missed OTAs last year for the Steelers. Antonio Brown joined Le'Veon Bell, who is also a no-show at the New York Jets OTAs. Is this a big deal? I don't think it's a huge deal from a he won't know how the offense is installed come week one of the regular season. I don't think missing a practice, a 7-on-7, an organized team activity on May the 21st, I don't think that that affects whether he's going to be ready to go or effective or productive week one in September. But what I do think these things mean is they show an overall commitment and work ethic to your craft and to your team. And I think it's a pretty important or valuable opportunity to develop bonds and to have your new teammates trust you. Antonio Brown doesn't have to show up. It's a voluntary workout. Fine. But if he does show up, I think that says a lot inside that locker room. And I think that also says a lot to the naysayers, to the critics. And I think it also squashes or quells this idea that he's a bad teammate. And I think it also would be a good step forward, a professional and mature step forward for a guy that seemed incredibly immature in the offseason, right? Remember, Antonio Brown's last chance to play competitive football, he sat out week 17. Antonio Brown had a chance to play for the Steelers in a must-win game to get to the playoffs week 17 and decided, no thanks. And his first chance to suit up for his new team after forcing his way out of town was to not suit up and not show up. There's more good that comes out of showing up than not showing up. And what this tells me is Antonio Brown is still about him. Antonio Brown is still about Antonio Brown. And that Raiders fans or the Raiders organization or John Gruden or anybody else that thinks suddenly AB becomes a new guy because he's happy. He's happy he's not playing with Ben Roethlisberger anymore. He's happy he's not a Steeler anymore. He's happy he got a new contract. Nope. I'm sorry. A leopard doesn't change his spots. Antonio Brown is always going to be a self-indulgent, immature player. He is dynamic. He is wildly productive. He is one of the best wide receivers in football. I'm not going to take his production away from him. No way. Of course, Antonio Brown is incredible at his profession. But his attitude sucks. Ben Roethlisberger deserves criticism for the way that he handled his relationship with AB. And the Steelers organization deserves criticism for the way that they've coddled and entitled and empowered Ben Roethlisberger to be that type of dysfunction with AB. But Antonio Brown, if he had a smart head on his shoulders and wasn't doing every goofy thing in the book this offseason and wasn't still taking shots at his old franchise and his old quarterback, would realize there's more help than hurt in showing up. There's a benefit to showing up that far outweighs the benefit of not showing up. And of course, Antonio Brown decided, I'm going to do Antonio Brown. Why not? I'll do Antonio Brown. I'll show up when I want to show up. I'll show up at OTAs when I want to show up. This is voluntary. I don't have to be there. You know, Antonio Brown in his Raiders uniform, working out with Derek Carr and working with John Gruden on the sideline and just showing up like, hey, I might be one of the highest paid players of the team. Hey, I'm brand new. You guys don't know me from hole in the wall, but I'm here. I'm present. I'm with you guys. I think that would go a long way. I think that would have a pretty good effect. I think the image of that, the message you send, is a pretty valuable one. But AB is not about those messages. AB is about AB. And I'm sorry. I hate the fact that the Raiders are leaving Oakland. I wish that the Oakland Raiders could finally win a Super Bowl again for the city of Oakland and not for the city of Las Vegas. I want this to be a happy ending because it kills me that they're moving out of Oakland. But this is, it's just so destined to be dysfunctional again because it's Antonio Brown and he's not changing. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. We now have our Stanley Cup final set. It's Boston and St. Louis, St. Louis and Boston. And this is a pretty amazing little factoid. These two cities have met for a championship in all four of the major sports. We shall discuss this sports karma that weaves between St. Louis and Boston, the Show Me State, and Beantown when we come back here on the DA Show. And if this is St. Louis's opportunity at ultimate redemption. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Going to clear. Bozak lays it in. There's 10 seconds to go in the Western Conference Final. Seven remaining. And the St. Louis Blues, for the first time in 49 years, have done it. You can bring out the Zamboni. The Blues will go to the Stanley Cup Final and face off against the Boston Bruins.
The St. Louis Blues are going to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 1970, nearly 50 years ago. The Blues are in the Stanley Cup Final. That's amazing. That was Blues Radio on the call. And Gloria has become their anthem, has become their rallying cry. They were playing that at the arena last night. In fact, one of the local radio stations in St. Louis today is playing Gloria on loop all day long. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. So many different ways you can listen to the show. You can listen by simply going to any of our wonderful CBS Sports Radio affiliates. Also on Sirius XM Channel 206. Listen to us on radio.com or Apple Music or the CBS Sports app, and watch us at watchda.com. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. St. Louis is a great American sports city. We know how unbelievable it is as a baseball city. They go gaga over the Cardinals, and that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. I mean, you ask anybody in Chicago or Kansas City, and they absolutely hate Cardinals fans. Ask somebody in Pittsburgh. Ask somebody in Cincinnati. They hate Cardinals fans. But it's only because Cardinals fans are so about their team and will follow them anywhere and travel all over the place, and they're scattered throughout the Midwest. One of the reasons that there's Cardinals fans everywhere around the country is because of the old radio station signal, KMOX. Because for decades, Cardinals games were on KMOX, and at night, across the very flat American landscape of the Midwest, it would travel hundreds, thousands of miles, and you could hear Cardinals games with Stan Musial, Ozzie Smith, Bob Gibson, and more in state upon state upon state. And so the Cardinals are everything in St. Louis. But because the Cardinals are so big, because the Cardinals are always sold out, and because the Cardinals have won so many championships, and because the Cardinals are the preeminent franchise in town, the Blues get overlooked. That's a very good hockey town. That has always been a really good hockey town. You know, football has never really been what St. Louis did best. St. Louis had the old Cardinals who left to go to Phoenix. They then imported the Rams, who recently left to go to Los Angeles. The football thing has never been a steady thing for St. Louisans. Baseball and hockey has. And while the Blues haven't made a Stanley Cup final nearly 50 years, they always show up, they're always loud, and they're always all about their team. And when the Rams came into town, and the Rams became the greatest show on turf, and they were the new, flashy, hot thing, the Blues once again got knocked down a peg. But hockey fans in St. Louis always showed up. So this is a really, really cool validation for hockey in St. Louis. And youth hockey in the St. Louis area is very good. There's a lot of grassroots hockey for young people around St. Louis and that Missouri area. So this is really awesome. It's really cool that the Blues finally made a Stanley Cup final. And for those that are not touched in on this, the Blues, as you heard Bogish mention at the top of the hour, the Blues had the worst record in hockey January 3rd. January 3rd is pretty deep into the season. And they had the fewest amount of points, the worst record in all of hockey on January 3rd. 4-plus months ago, this team was in last place, and right now, it just clinched its berth in the Stanley Cup final. It's awesome. The whole thing is awesome. It really is awesome. But what do you also have to weave into this is this crazy, bizarre, karmic connection between these two cities, St. Louis and Boston. It'll be Blues and Bruins for the Stanley Cup starting on Monday. And every sport of the four major sports has had a championship decided between St. Louis and Boston. which is crazy. Think about it. One of the all-time greatest Super Bowls ever, St. Louis, Boston, Patriots, Rams, 2001. When the Red Sox finally broke the 86-year curse and they finally put to bed the curse of the Bambino, who do they beat? The St. Louis Cardinals. In fact, that wasn't the first time St. Louis and Boston had played in the World Series. They had played in the 60s as well. In the NBA. When St. Louis had an NBA team, the Hawks and the Celtics were in the NBA Finals. And the last time the Blues were in the Stanley Cup Final, they played the Bruins. And it was the iconic Bobby Orr scoring the goal and flying through the air to clinch a Stanley Cup championship. These are all moments connected between Boston and St. Louis in championship moments. And most of them have gone the way of Boston. This is the ultimate opportunity for validation and vindication for the city of St. Louis. They've got a chance to not only wipe away the Bobby Orr Cup 1970, not only do they have a chance to wipe away 49 years of frustration in the hockey, not only do they have a chance to validate losing to the Celtics when they had an NBA team, not only do they have a chance to validate 0-4 when they lose to the Red Sox in the World Series, but they also have a chance to get their payback for arguably the worst loss in city history, civic history, in St. Louis, the 0-1 Super Bowl, where the Rams were a 2-touchdown favorite and lost. I'm telling you, this thing has it all. And Don Cherry Alamode, I know you're rooting for the St. Louis Blues here.
How could you not? First of all, forget the hockey element. Strictly from a city purpose, how could anybody in America not living in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, or wherever in the Northeast not want a team to beat Boston in a championship?
New England. There's plenty of people in the Northeast that are not in New England.
Good point. I was looking for that word. New England is the word, or two words I was looking for.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. They already have two championships this year, the Red Sox and Patriots. You don't need the Bruins now going for a tree-peat there.
A tree-peat.
A tree-peat of Boston parades.
If they win the Stanley Cup, they will have three sitting championships out of the four major sports.
No city deserves that, especially not Boston. Now, from a St. Louis perspective, think about it. Now, we all had to sit through what I thought was the most boring Super Bowl of all time, but how about these fans? They had to sit through the team that got robbed from them just a couple years ago, getting rebuilt so quickly and getting to a Super Bowl, facing the team, oh, by the way, from New England, that you could argue cheated with Spygate to beat them in the chance they would have had to win another Super Bowl. That is the worst possible Super Bowl situation for that fan base. And at that time that Super Bowl was happening, the Blues were still floundering. They had nothing to look forward to. I mean, the Cardinals are signing Paul Goldschmidt. Yay, yip-de-doo. And now you have this fan base sitting there, getting behind a song, galvanizing. They haven't... Think about it. I am 32 years old now. You're about to be 40, young man.
Thank you.
In our lives, we've never seen the Blues play in a Stanley Cup.
No.
So think about anybody our age that lives in St. Louis. They've never experienced this. How many times have we said over this, the time the show's been on the air in 6 years, Eagles win a Super Bowl, Cubs win a World Series. I know I'm forgetting something. The Cavs win an NBA Finals. These fan bases in sports that haven't experienced or tasted anything, while Boston continues to experience everything, we want that. We want new blood. We want new life. We want fan bases tasting something that they haven't tasted before. How can you not get behind the Blues in this Stanley Cup?
You have actually pointed this out a number of times over the course of this spring, that the moment that the Super Bowl ended, things turned for the city of St. Louis.
Karmically, yep.
Super Bowl was the darkest moment ever because, as you said, it was the team that they had just lost, going from 7-8-1 and 7-9 and 8-8 under Jeff Fisher, to suddenly a machine going into the Super Bowl and like the glitzy glamour team of the NFL. against the team that you feel robbed you of your deserved championship in 2001 by filming walkthroughs or whatever the Rams currently claim that seems to kind of change every year. And the Blues were in last place. And then the moment that the Super Bowl was played, boom, the Blues took off. And now here they are in the Stanley Cup Final. Perhaps that was the darkest before the dawn. Perhaps that was the start of a civic vindication, which will end in a Stanley Cup.
And maybe this starts a run. Maybe the Cardinals play a deep October. Maybe the XFL St. Louis team, if they finish the season, wins a championship next year. You never know.
You might be wondering how Gloria became the go-to song, the anthem for the St. Louis Blues. So it happened at Jack's NYB, which is a bar in Philadelphia, okay? And it's actually owned by a guy who loves the St. Louis Blues. He's a St. Louis native, and he said, I wanted to catch the game and to be around other Blues fans. I'm super excited to be at the birthplace of the turnaround. Jack's NYB is the members-only club that five players from the Blues walked into on January 6th to watch an NFL playoff game, Eagles and Bears. They came out singing Gloria, the 1982 hit song. The next day, the Blues won 3-0 against the Philadelphia Flyers, and Gloria became the Blues' victory song, and Jack's NYB became the bar every Blues fan had to visit. On Tuesday, last night, more than 150 people packed into the converted row home to celebrate and sing Gloria as the Blues won 5-1. I mean, I'm getting chills talking about it. I want this clear. This is not even an open bar. It's not a real bar. It's basically a speakeasy that this dude owns. And he opened up his doors for the Blues who were in town to take on the Flyers to watch the Eagles playoff game in Philly. And in the bar, they were playing Gloria, and it got people all fired up. And they're walking out of the bar singing Gloria after that. Again, it's not even a bar. It's a members-only speakeasy, essentially. And they go out and they beat the Flyers the next day, and that's the start of the turnaround. And now it's become a mecca for Blues fans. Blues fans are traveling to Philadelphia to go to the speakeasy to watch last night's game and sing and party and celebrate. It has taken on a life of its own, and it is awesome. How can you not get behind this story? It is a great American sports story. Right now, there's T-shirts being sold that simply say, Play Gloria on it. And right now, before Game 6 last night, 1,300 Play Gloria shirts have been sold. Awesome, awesome story. Mike is next up. He's in Idaho, listening to 93.1 of CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Bo.
What's up, man?
Me up, would you?
All right.
Hey, I was born in St. Louis, and I'm a diehard. I live for the St. Louis Cardinals and the Blues, and used to be the St. Louis Rams, but, you know, I'm still a diehard fan.
Well, congratulations, man. Your team's in the Stanley Cup Final, baby.
Yes, they are. And I despise New England, and because they beat us in for the second time in the Super Bowl. But who do you think is going to be the favorite in this?
In what? In the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, the Blues and the...
I think it's going to be the Bruins because of how quickly and easily the Bruins dispatched of the Hurricanes of the Eastern Conference Final, and because the Bruins have the home ice advantage, I think they'll be a slight favorite in this one. And I think most people feel as though the Bruins, once they got through the first two rounds, they were the best team left because of all of the big upsets that happened in the Stanley Cup playoffs before that, that kind of opened up the path for them. So I think that the Bruins will be a slight favorite in the Stanley Cup Final. When we come back here on the DA Show, are the Clippers the new favorite to land Kevin Durant?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.